Does that bring back memories for you? Hopefully some good ones. I mean, when you think about Christmas, when you were young, what pictures come to mind? I know for me, every single Christmas, I wanted snow. Who's with me? Who wants snow? Yeah. And if your hands are down and you're a Grinch this Christmas, you're welcome at church too. Glad you're here. I remember when I was a kid, how slow time went in December. It was like, how many days until Christmas? And it felt like forever. Every day felt 7 days long, like we hit dog years in December. I remember this sense that anything was possible. You could ask and it might just happen, which builds to the point where you expect some crazy things. Like Joe, our arts pastor at our White House campus, who fully expected Luke Skywalker's X-Wing to be parked in his backyard Christmas morning. Do we have any kids in the room? Where are the kids at? Okay, yeah, a few of you adults have your hands up too. I like that. Are you kids excited for Christmas? Oh, a few of you, great. I'm excited too. And here's the thing. I know some of you put smiles on. I know for some of you, Christmas isn't easy. And the thing is, even if the Christmas that I'm talking about isn't what you experienced when you were young, I think this is what we all want it to be. That feeling that you have purpose, that anything is possible. And the challenge is, the older you get, Christmas changes. Now, instead of December taking forever, it's like 4 days long. I was just looking at my watch a couple days ago, and then all of a sudden, it's Christmas Eve. Here we are. Instead of waiting and waiting, Christmas, December feels like a hustle. You got activities, you got obligations, you got gifts, you got expectations to fulfill, and then it's over. And you're sitting on the couch trying to remember the magic.
So, did you have a Merry Christmas?
Are you kidding me? That was the best Christmas ever.
Really?
Babe, I had a smile on my face from the moment I woke up.
Ah! Wake up! It's Christmas! It's Christmas! Wake up!
Hurry up! Oh, are you kidding me? I think I was more excited than the kids.
Yeah, I know.
Honestly.
I was the same way.
Yeah. They like their presents, right?
Dana loves her playhouse. You weren't up too late building it, were you?
Oh, it was a breeze.
My family didn't ruin your day, did they?
No. I love that we hosted this year.
Mary, traffic was awful.
3 hours.
Whoa, you can't wait.
You sure?
Honestly, babe, they made my day.
Hey, Rach, is Cameron sick?
And how about you, the hostess with the most? Is taking care of everybody? How do you do it?
I guess I was just full of Christmas cheer.
I don't know.
Well, I had a perfect day.
Me too.
I mean, this is gonna sound corny, but I don't know if it was you and the kids.
You're not adopted. She's not adopted. Why would you tell her that?
Or the family being here. But I definitely felt some Christmas magic today.
I absolutely love them.
Come on, guys. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys.
Best Christmas ever?
Best Christmas ever.
Mom!
Tyler's
in my room! Get out!
I'll go.
Thank you.
Love you, Tyler. Oh, I need a moment to compose myself. It's a little close to home, right? I mean, it's funny because it's sort of true. Thank you, Saturday Night Live. I mean, we want Christmas so badly to be the best ever. And so we try everything that we can to make it amazing, but it's a lot. It's work. And what nobody tells you is sometimes It's like Christmas happens without you. It's like Christmas passes you by. And so wherever you're at, whether you're full of joy and excitement about the holiday season, or you're desperate for it, I am so glad that you are here. The message of Christmas really is the same every year. You hear it in the songs that play over and over on the radio. You see it on the decorations when you're out shopping and on people's homes. The wonder of Christmas is found in the simple invitation to stop, look up, and believe. And I think this is what we all crave, right? We want to stop, at least slow the hustle and bustle a little bit. We want to pause and take a breath and be present. And I think there's a part of all of us that wants to look up, to recapture that childlike wonder, to look for Santa or stare into the starry night sky, look for snow. And I think we all want to believe that hope and joy and goodness is possible. And the irony is, these things seem so much easier when I was young. And then the older I get, the older we get, the more reality that we see, the more burden life becomes. It just gets harder. It feels like it's elusive. I mean, if you have kids, young kids in particular, you see the magic of Christmas in their eyes, and it's exciting, but as your kids get older, it just looks a little different. We gathered our family together for a family photo session. Yeah, that's right. Nothing like family photos to bring goodwill and peace to all men. But eventually we got some smiles. And what you don't know is I'm on my tippy toes trying to keep up with my son Sam there, you know. But kids remind us what it's like to believe. If you spend time with elementary school kids, you see that their world depends, is wrapped around these beliefs in fun ways. When Lydia was 9, she's 17 now, but when she was 9, she needed something from the basement and wouldn't go down to get it. And I'm like, hey, you can go. She's like, no, Dad, would you go get it for me? And so we start negotiating, and I'm like, well, why don't you want to go get it? I'm scared of the basement, she said. I'm like, oh, well, why are you scared? I was just down there. There's nothing down there. She's like, well, there might be monsters down there. And I'm thinking, you're 9, probably time to grow out of the monster thing, whatever. So we start talking, and she's not believing me. She's not going. And I get a little exasperated, and I said, Lydia, monsters aren't real. Like, you have nothing to be afraid of. And she starts crying uncontrollably. I'm like, this isn't working, right? So I said, what happened? What did I say? And she's like, I need monsters to be real. I'm like, what? She's like, if monsters aren't real, then fairies aren't real either. And I want fairies to be real. All right, I'll go to the basement. I mean, kids' beliefs, it's the way of life. And then as we get older, well, we get more educated, and we get skeptical and cynical, and then Christmas kind of becomes just a myth. Take the three kings, for example. You know, the three kings that traveled on camel. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts, you know the song? Have you not heard the song? Some of you haven't. I know, Spotify, check it out, right? This is the three kings that follow the star to Jesus' birth on Christmas. Yeah, that's a myth. Yeah, that's not what happened. You can call me the Grinch who stole Christmas. Go ahead, but it's the truth. First, they weren't kings. They were magi. They were Persian priests. Second, there had to be more than three. Think about it. If you have a chest full of gold wandering across the wilderness, sure enough, some robbers are going to find you, take your gold, and leave you for dead. And third, they probably showed up 9 to 12 months after Jesus was born. Don't believe me? Look at Matthew chapter 2. It says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. And about that time, some English translations say, after he was born, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem. So you may be wondering, like, well, then why is it a Christmas story? We'll get to that. But first, these are three magi. It's where we get the English word magician, and it's where we get the English word magistrate, as in like a legal sense, right? If you put the two of them together, that gives you a bit of a snapshot of what these men were like. They were religious priests. They were stargazers, astrologers, kingmakers. They had wealth, influence, and power. And they're from Persia, modern day Iran. There were probably 200 to 300 of them, not on camels, but on horses. And they come rolling into J-Town, Jerusalem, looking for something. It's like, what did they want? Well, they didn't email, they didn't call, they didn't text. They roll up to the front gate of this city and they shout out, Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we've come to worship him. Meanwhile, current king of the Jews, Herod, was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. I mean, picture today, 20 tinted out black SUVs rolling through your neighborhood tomorrow. And they come knocking at your door. Hey, where's the new mayor? Where's the new president? You'd be like, wait, what? Like, it would be disturbing to me, you know? It's like, is this a hostile takeover? Are we being invaded? Is this leave the world behind? I mean, the conspiracy theories would be juicy. Clips for this would be going viral on TikTok or the gram, or for you boomers, Facebook, wherever you watch and look, right? On top of that, King Herod, he was a bit crazy. If you know anything about Herod the Great, you know he had his son killed because he felt threatened by his own son. So if this king ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. But this is where we learn these magi are following a star, and not just any star, his star. Interesting words. Scholars speculate on what they saw in that sky at night. Some wonder if they saw a supernova, like a star exploding, or some historians have referenced Halley's Comet that may have flown by near the time when Jesus was born. Maybe that was it, but what's interesting is nobody in Jerusalem seems to notice anything different about the night sky. And what some scholars believe now is what we would call today, what they might not have known then, is a planet conjunction, where Jupiter and Saturn begin flying in a similar pattern, looking like a unique bright sky that only happens once every 100 years or so. And maybe it was that. Maybe it was just God, his spirit. We're not sure. But what's clear is they stopped, they looked up, and they believed. They let this moment, whatever it was that they were seeing, interrupt their life. They stopped. And they shifted their focus from everything else that was going on, and they looked up, and then they believed. They left home. They traveled 1,300 miles by horseback. That's like Toledo to Miami, Florida, with 200 or 300 other people. That's how much this moment impacted their life. And so they expected, I think, the locals to be aware, this is big news. But Herod, the king of the Jews, was clueless. He calls a meeting with the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asks, where's the Messiah supposed to be born? Like, King Herod, the king of the Jews, had for sure heard the stories, the prophecies of the coming Messiah. They've been talked about for hundreds of years. I mean, not just a king, but God's chosen king, the Messiah, was going to come. They've been waiting, and I imagine King Herod was like, you know what? It's a myth. It's just a story. It's make-believe. Is it real, guys? Like, is he going to be born? Where is he going to be born? So he calls the religious leaders and experts together, and they look at Micah chapter 2 and 2 Samuel and the Jewish scriptures, the Old Testament, and they find, oh, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. They're like, Bethlehem. Herod's like, Bethlehem? They're like, Bethlehem. It's like, Bethlehem, 6 miles away. That's how far it is from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. And so Herod faces a choice. He is currently the king of the Jews. He desires to be Herod the Great. And could it be that this is actually the arrival of the Messiah? That these ancient stories might actually be true? I mean, what would this mean for Israel? What would it mean for him? Is he willing to stop and look up and believe, or will he just keep doing life his way? With his decision made, Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. And then he told them, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. And if you know the story, you know that Herod has no interest in worshiping this child. In fact, Herod feels threatened. He feels like his greatness is threatened. His agenda is threatened. God is obviously at work, and Herod ignores it. Which makes me wonder, are we really that different? I mean, isn't it so easy to get caught up in the motions and the traditions of Christmas. And we do all the things and the family get-togethers and we put the nativity out and we even check church off of the list. We're gonna go to church and miss what is really most meaningful. Isn't it easy to let our own agendas and our desires and our selfishness potentially distract us from where God might be at work in front of us? I mean, Herod was 6 miles away, but he was so preoccupied with himself that he wouldn't stop, look up, and believe. Meanwhile, these wise men from far away, after this interview, the wise men went their way and they saw the star that they had seen in the east guided them, yes, to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. Have you ever wondered how a star can stop in place? Well, if it's not a star, then sure, it could stop. But what if it is? Like stars, stars move across our night sky in a predictable pattern every night. But planets rotate around the sun, not just move in the same way. Stars do not. And so sometimes planets look like they're moving in reverse. They're in retrograde, which at the apex of its curve could look like it pauses for a moment. It could be that's what they are watching. God, bring this unique moment together. All of this is possible. But what I find interesting is that God is personally pursuing these men from miles away to come and encounter him. Maybe you feel far away from God today. Maybe you're sitting here like, I can't even believe I'm in church. Like, oh, it's awkward. And you feel like God is disappointed in you. Friends, I believe it's not an accident that you're here. If you think about the number of decisions and choices and unseen obstacles that you had to clear to be in this moment, watching, attending, maybe instead of focusing on the distance you feel, what if instead you opened yourself up to the possibility that God is pursuing you? Like he's inviting you to stop and look up and believe to find purpose with him. I mean, like the wise men, look, when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. When they saw Jesus, they were filled with joy because personally experiencing Jesus changes us. It impacted them so much that they bowed down, they worshiped. I mean, think about it. These are men of influence and intelligence, of wealth and power, and they are humbly bending down on a knee before a toddler. And that's not all. They offered gifts. It says that they opened up their treasure chests and they gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This is why it's a Christmas story, because we carry on some of that tradition today. And these gifts, they weren't meant for kids. I mean, think about it. A chest full of gold, what's a toddler gonna do with that? No, gold is meant for a king. And frankincense, what's that? Frankincense is incense used by priests during prayer. And myrrh was used to prepare a body for burial. And so this star had led these wise men thousands of miles to Jesus the King, Jesus our priest, and Jesus our sacrificial Savior. He is what Christmas is all about. The wise men came bearing earthly gifts, but what they left with was an encounter with God far more valuable than anything you could buy here on earth. All because they believed. Emmanuel, God, had left heaven and had come to earth to make God approachable. And they never would have believed if they wouldn't have looked up from all of the other things in their life, and they never would have looked up if they didn't stop. See, Christmas isn't a story that happened once. It happened again a few months later with the Magi, and it happens again and again with real people in real places, and not just insiders who have all of the information, not just with a certain ethnic group, but God came for all, even those of you who feel far away. Christmas isn't for those who are good and have their life all put together. Now, God can put together the broken pieces of whatever you've been battling through in your life if you're willing to stop, look up, and believe. I mean, think about the teenager Mary when the angel came to give the message that she was going to bear forth a son, God's son. She had to stop, look up. Would she believe? Or the poor shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night when the angel showed up? They were invited to stop, look up, believe. What if the whole village was invited to hear the message, but it was only the shepherds who were willing to stop, look up, and believe? What if God is trying to get your attention in something important today? The question is then, what do you need to stop? Like on a practical level, what is it that you need to bring to an end? And maybe for some of you, with all that's in front of you, you just need to end the need for it to be perfect. We're gonna let that go. Maybe there needs to be an end to the busyness. Perhaps an end to the bitterness or the unforgiveness. Maybe for you, it's the selfishness, wanting it to go your way, or the lustfulness, pursuing these things that will never ultimately satisfy. I imagine there are some of you that feel purposeless, where Jesus is inviting that to end today, or anxiousness that has a hold on your life. What is it that has a hold on you? Don't be Herod, so caught up in your life that you miss the invitation that Jesus came to give, to stop, to be free from that. How? Well, we have to look up. We have to stop focusing on all the stuff, the stress, the problems. Begin to look at really what matters most. And pull your gaze upward to the people around you and the opportunities to connect meaningfully or to set your sights where God is at work in you and around you. I mean, remember the angel's message to those shepherds. He said, "Do not be afraid," the angel said. "I bring you good news. It'll bring great joy to all the people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David." I don't think this was a message just for them. I think somebody here needs to hear the words, "Don't be afraid." Like, it's time to let whatever it is that you've been worried about go, at least for a moment. And how do we take a deep breath and let down our anxiousness? We have to receive the good news, not good advice, not good things to do. Christianity is not a list of rules or behaviors to follow. It's good news. Something has happened that brings great joy, soul-filling joy, not to some people, not to an elite few, but to all people. And what is that good news? A Savior's been born. And friends, that's the problem. So we want to be our own savior. We really don't want to depend on anyone else for anything. Because in order to do that, you and I have to acknowledge we don't have what it takes. To acknowledge that he is a savior would require that we have to humbly bow and go, "God, we need you in our life because I can't do this on my own." That's what makes Christmas special, is that God came near and is approachable. That's his grace, not a list of rules. It's that God sees you and me and our mess, and he initiates a rescue plan to not just leave us in it, but to partner with us into a way to experience new life with him. So let's stop focusing on the problems and the people that are the problems and the crazy messed up world, and let's start looking to him, the one who knows what we were made for. Pull our gaze up to him and ultimately believe. That's what it's going to take. And this is where I think we get confused. Believing is not acknowledging. Herod acknowledged the Messiah. Priests and religious scholars, they acknowledged the Messiah. But the wise men believed, which led them to action. They adjusted their lives around this truth. They bowed in worship. And so, do you believe in Jesus or do you acknowledge him? Like, what if the joy and the peace and the purpose that we all crave is found in the one that the star points us to? That God, who created our world, entered our world, became a created being to teach us what God is like, and then to ultimately give his life as a sacrifice for us, and then to come back from the dead to give us hope that our today is not our forever. Not so that we could buy ourselves more stuff and have bigger Christmas parties, that's fine, but ultimately so that we could find our value, our worth, and our purpose in him. See, what struck me about this story as I was preparing for this Christmas is that God pursued these non-Jewish men who were far away from Israel personally. Like he wanted them to encounter him, which means there is nowhere that you can go where God can't reach you, no matter how far away you feel. I mean, these pagan star-worshipping priests, God didn't wait until their life was all right and they got everything in order and understood it all before he pursued them and invited them. All he invited them to do was to stop, look up, and believe. And interestingly, the Jewish priests and religious leaders who were supposed to know, who had grown up in church, they had been Jewish their whole life, they missed it. Which means you can go to church your whole life, and you can call yourself a Christian and still miss it. You can still miss the invite, the personal encounter with Jesus that brings joy and purpose. And so today, I don't want you to miss it. In fact, right now, I would invite you to look up at the star. Right now. And just quietly ask God, God, what step are you inviting me to take today? I believe that when we invite God to speak, he'll whisper or prompt our hearts. Some of you already know where he's graciously saying, hey, let's grow here. I know there are some of you who've never personally placed your faith in Christ. Maybe you've gone to church your whole life, but you can't think of a moment where you personally acknowledged that Jesus is your Savior, your Lord, your King. If you can't think of a moment, then I can't think of a better day than Christmas Eve 2023 to mark that moment for you. I'll walk you through a simple prayer in just a minute. I know there are others of you, this is the first time back in a long time. Maybe you've spiritually drifted. Today is God's gracious invitation for you to maybe make spiritual rhythms with him a regular part of your routine. To make this something you do, not just once a year, but you start following him. And I know there are many of you who follow Jesus. It's amazing to me how complicated we can make the spiritual journey and forget how profoundly simple it is to acknowledge that we need Jesus, our Savior. Maybe it's time to remember that. I want you to have a prayerful moment, so ask God right now, what step are you inviting me to take? God, what do you need me to stop? What do you need us to stop? Where do you need us to look up? Where do you want us to believe? And if you're sitting there going, I want this grace and forgiveness, this purpose, here's a prayer that I'll put on the screen. It's not a magic words. It's just a prayer of faith, acknowledging that you humbly need Jesus to do what you cannot. And so if you can't think of a time when you've taken this step of faith to receive his eternal life and forgiveness in the quietness of your heart as I read this, make this your prayer to God. Say, Heavenly Father, I confess that I need to stop trying to do life on my own and instead look up and surrender to you. I believe and receive the forgiveness and new life that Jesus graciously offers. And I don't just acknowledge you. Today, I believe that you are Lord and will adjust my life to follow you. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, the Bible says that today is your spiritual birthday. And I wanna help you acknowledge this moment. And so to do that, I'm gonna ask everyone to just kind of close your eyes for a moment. Nothing weird's gonna happen. Nobody's gonna be called out. I just want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And for those who pray that prayer for the first time, I wanna pray for you. And I wanna help you mark this in a way where it isn't just something that lives in your head, but you're gonna do, just raise your hand. I'm gonna have you do that in a moment to mark this moment. So if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you quietly slip your hand up and hold it up in the air and say, today, I prayed that prayer for the first time, and keep your hand up right where it's at. Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to pray for you. Thank you. God, I pray for every hand that's lifted. May they sense your spirit, your purpose, and your incredible grace. God, grow in them a heart to follow and worship you and fill them with your joy. You can put your hands down. Thank you so much for the incredible gift that Jesus gives and makes available to each of us. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, would you join me in celebrating those who took their first step of faith this weekend at Cedar Creek? It's incredible. And I know there are some of you who are like, I'm curious, maybe you're skeptical, maybe you have questions and you weren't ready to do that or whatever, that's fine. You're welcome to join us for the journey too. I love saying, give us 12 months and I believe God will change your life. In fact, next weekend, we won't be having any physical services at any of our locations, but we have created a 30-minute at-home experience for you to reflect on the year and to connect with God and to actually take communion wherever you find yourself, New Year's weekend. And then January 6th and 7th, we're starting a series called The Power to Change, because you're gonna change next year, whether you want to or not, for good or for bad, whether you intend to or not. And so let's be intentional about the changes that we're gonna experience in our life. And here's the good news. It's not all on you. God wants to work in you and through you to change you. And so we're gonna talk about the small steps God invites us to take to experience big change in our life. So I hope you join us January 6th and 7th as we start that series. It's at this point where we're gonna invite our dream team, the ushers, down to receive an offering. And here's the thing, we don't normally do this. We don't ask for money. I don't want you to feel any pressure to give whatsoever. If you're here for the first time, this service is our gift to you. But I know many of you who regularly attend love to give, especially at this time of year. And so this simplifies the process a little bit for us. And so if you wanna give digitally, there's a QR code in the seat back in front of you. And I love just taking a couple minutes to share how God uses your giving to make a difference locally and beyond. See, I believe that the fastest way to a better community, to better schools, to better families, to better marriages is inviting or introducing people to Jesus. He's the only one that can change the human heart. And so we take seriously the stewardship of every dollar given to maximize its impact locally and beyond. At Cedar Creek, we have over 80 staff members and hundreds of dream team who use their gifts and talents to share God's hope, his love, his grace with as many people as possible. And so we wanna make heaven more full, but we also wanna make our communities here feel a little bit more like heaven. And so here's what we're celebrating. This year, we had 472 individuals choose to get water baptized at Cedar Creek this year, which is a big deal for us. We celebrate that. I know some of you are here today. You know, in our country, we are battling an epidemic of loneliness, which is why we celebrate over 2,124 people finding connection with others in groups and connection with God, which includes some men at Toledo Correctional. I recently got to visit some of these guys who go to group every week to work through some of the things that God's doing in their life. And here's some of their stories. And when they started walking into the room, they're like, hey, I see you on the weekends on our TV. You're pastor of that church. Unbelievable. What are you doing here? So I need your help because some of them are watching right now. Will you put your hands together to welcome the men? Say Merry Christmas to those guys at TOCI. We're praying for you, cheering for you. We've seen hundreds of people begin to take steps in their God-given purpose. You've actually provided thousands of dollars and thousands of hours to those in need in our community. Over 700 Christmas gift shoeboxes were given to local schools and then given to elementary school kids over this past couple of weeks. Over $15,000 was dispersed and used to help families who are struggling this Christmas. Over $20,000 through the Dollar Club was given to other local organizations making a difference. Our clothing closet at the Oregon campus helped serve 150 people per month, allowing them to get free clothing items. We had over 1,665 hours donated to repair over 309 vehicles of single moms and struggling families. You've invested financially and voluntarily to the Art Tatum Zone with the Sweeneys and the South Toledo Medical Clinic with Dr. Pat, who has recently featured in The Blade. You have done so much locally, But we've also been working internationally as well, sending mission trips down to the third or to the developing world in Latin America to our GCLA churches down there. You've invested thousands of dollars in national and global disaster relief from Israel and Gaza to Syria to hurricanes and tornadoes just this year alone. Like, you are meeting real needs where it matters. And you're also moving forward the cause of the church, the local hope of the world. And so we're celebrating that you helped launch over 40 churches in the United States just this year. We're celebrating what God's doing with our merger with Stonebridge and Finley. And we're celebrating Josh Whitlow and Purpose Church that we helped plant this year in Goodyear, Arizona, averaging over 200 people every weekend, which is incredible. So a portion of every dollar you give goes to those things. You're making a difference. You are the story that God is writing here. And so if you can find a better return on investment, I would love for you to give there. But for those of you who give here, I just wanted you to hear me say, thanks. Thanks for being a part of God's work. It's a privilege. And now you have one more moment to take a deep breath, to remember what Christmas is all about, to reflect on and receive the gift that Christmas brings, which is Jesus himself. So together, let's stop. Let's look up. Let's believe.